You're listening to the Loyalty Minute, the show that helps you build better customer loyalty and more valuable user engagement with your host, Rob Gallo.
Welcome, loyal listeners, to another episode of the Loyalty Minute. I'm your host, Rob Gallo, and today I'm excited to chat with Mark Donegan. Mark designs and executes marketing playbooks that produce real business results for early and growth stage technology and disruptive innovative startup companies. Welcome to the show, Mark. Thanks for joining me.
Rob, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Great. So for those listeners who don't know who you are or perhaps, you know, haven't heard of what you are, what you do, please, you could give them a high level overview.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a sales guy turned marketer. For real. I started my career in a computer science program, decided I wanted to be a rock star, went to music school. That didn't quite work out. In other words, I didn't become a rock star and figured out I had to make a living, learn that, hey, salespeople make money. And so anyway, went down this, very interesting track, ended up, advancing my career, leading teams, et cetera. But along the way, I guess that creative side never went away. I continuously found myself drawn into the strategy, into the marketing aspects. So even as a seller, even as I had a team, it was just very natural for me. So long story short, after many years, I said, hey, I really want to double down, rather than kind of make this a nights and weekends and kind of dabbling at the edges, if you will, of marketing. Like, I want to focus full time. So a number of years ago, that's what I did. And, ever since I basically am focused on working with startup founders who are, they've got a great product. They have a great solution, great technology. Now they're saying, how do I bring this to market? I built it, but they're not, they're not coming. The old, if you build it, they will come. Well, yeah. The market doesn't quite work that way. So
no, I know the market very well. In fact, I'm in the process of making an acquisition of a company right now, and I've been canvassing several different companies. And it's amazing to me that there's so much technology that's been started, but people don't understand really how to market it. And they've done great jobs with building things that people want, but not really knowing how to get it to the market in such a way that it makes it meaningful.
And just to put a point on that, the reason why this happens, because a lot of times I'm asked, like, well, how can someone so smart and a group of people develop a great product and then ultimately they just completely fail because of lack of business execution? Like, like they did the hard part, they developed this amazing device, technology, etc., but business. And the fact of the matter is, most founders, if you think about it, especially today where everything is technology, so it doesn't really matter what sector you're in. And most founders come from product, come from engineering, and a lot of them come from large organizations where they were never exposed to marketing. Sales was something that just happened. Yeah. And if you, if you're an engineer at Google, for example, an incredible engineering org, but I mean, sales just happens. The revenue just happens there. And so therefore you go start a company and then you realize, whoa, there's a whole lot that actually was happening behind the scenes and that needs to happen for my product to actually make it to market. And so I work with founders just like that, and I absolutely love it. It's a great fit for me.
That's great. So, obviously the name of the show is the Loyalty Minute. We talk about loyalty, customer loyalty, brand loyalty, but in order to get to that loyalty, they need to get to market first and have the branding situated in such a way that people will adopt their platform and continue to either, work with them or promote them. If, finding evangelists is a big thing. So we're definitely going to get way deep into the weeds with that. And I think our listeners appreciate it. But the first question I wanted to ask you, just to get a big broad scope of Mark Donegan, what do you think about loyalty? Like, what does it mean to you to be loyal to a brand?
Yeah. So, I can answer that question from just a personal feeling. And I think I feel like all of us do, right? I'm actually going to skip that. And I'm going to answer this from the perspective of a company, of a business, and what it really means to build loyalty. So in my personal observation, I mean, yes, you know, the programs, things like points cards and all the mechanisms for loyalty are helpful and interesting. And sure, you know, it can drive a decision, right, to go to our business or, you know, your business instead of the next one over because, hey, I'm a Hilton guy, you know, which anybody who does business travel knows exactly what that means. You know, it means that whenever possible, I stay in a Hilton, even if it's not the best hotel or if it's not, you know, because I get the points. So, but the reality is that that's just a decision I made, you know, to finance a little bit better vacation so I can use points when I go to Europe, you know? So it's not that I'm really loyal to Hilton as much as it's just a business decision. Now that's for me, right?
But if we, you would think also though, and I don't mean to interrupt Mark, but in that instance, if Hilton wasn't treating you right when you walked in the door, right? Or they weren't really, you know, didn't have your best interest in mind, or they didn't have a great product. Yeah. Anybody has a loyalty program, you'd go anywhere else.
Yeah. So
you're doing something right to keep your business coming
sure,
back.
Sure, 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 sure. Absolutely. I mean, if it was just a terrible experience, well, then, you know, and if I had this routinely in different properties, why would I go back? Right. And so you're 100% correct. But I will say again, going back to business travel experiences, and I think probably a lot of your listeners and you know, you have this as well, back when we were traveling a lot, which hopefully that will start again. I would always see these interactions at a counter where a plane was canceled. There was a weather delay. There was something. And there's always one passenger who's making a huge scene. And it always starts with, I will never fly your airline again. Okay. Now, I can remember one situation in Chicago it probably was January or February. And it was a weather. I mean, all planes are grounded and, you know, so what can you do? It's the weather. And there was somebody making this huge scene and there were three or four of us standing in line. We all looked at each other and a few of us verbalized it, but you could tell by the expressions, everybody's going, next week, that guy's going to be back on. And I don't even remember if it was United or Delta or whoever it was, but you know, that guy's going to be back on there. Why? Because they're the ones that fly his route with his itinerary. And, you know, like at the end of the day. So let's talk then about, you know, loyalty in terms of what you can really do to really get someone grafted in to what I like to think of as your community. And I am just a really, really firm believer that if we just step back and we think about how community, you know, how humans are interacting today, both in a, you know, professionally, personally, you know, special interests, hobbies, you know, things that we do, you know, whatever, other support, you know, education. Everything is starting to form or is forming around communities. So, and of course, it starts with social networks. It starts with, you know, groups that we might join online. It starts with in-person events and groups that we join. But community is now how we both identify often as who we are as people, how we interact with the world. It's how we get information. And in my world where I'm really focused on B2B, so the companies I work with are selling to other businesses. Generally, it's technology or it's services that enable those businesses. And it used to be 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the trade show was the place where the industry would come together and where peers would talk over cocktails or, you know, or run into each other in the hallway or, you know, whatever. And they would exchange notes. And this was how they would get validation of like, hey, you know, what database technologies are you thinking about? Oh, we really like this. You know, hey, what are you guys doing about XYZ over here? Oh, well, we're thinking this. And it was a trade show. And that's why, you know, 10, 15 years ago, certainly 20 years ago, you had to be at the big trade shows or else you kind of really missed out. You missed out on new product announcements. You missed out. But now, if you think about it, there literally is no need to go to a trade show. Now, we can talk about the in-person value. We can talk about the fact that, you know, just reading something online or even doing a Zoom call does not replace face-to-face interaction. And I believe that to be true. But from an information dissemination perspective, all the information is online from all the vendors. There are now influencers that are rising up in, I mean, everywhere, in every industry and just every part of life, you know, and we can think of like the Instagram influencers, but I'm talking about, you know, there's influencers, you can find any career track, you can find any industry ecosystem, and there's an influencer. There's somebody who somehow has positioned themselves as an expert and people listen to them. And so when we
like
start
this show,
thinking,
when by Brandon,
like this, absolutely, Rob. Yep. Yeah. And you are an influencer. And, you know, really, to that's not making light of it. Podcasts, by the way, are an amazing way. It's just the best way, in my opinion, to build this loyalty. To build and what it is, if you really think about it, is you say, well, what am I really doing? Well, it really is a community that's forming because there's a certain set of people who won't miss an episode, and when they do, they'll catch up and they form around you. And when they reply to your LinkedIn post, you know, you recognize their names, they come up all the time. There's like a community that forms around. And so this actually is the new loyalty, you know, program in the context, what I'm talking about, not necessarily just podcasts, that's a mechanism, but this is the new loyalty in B2B.
Yeah.
Is what I'm talking
community.
About.
Community. So what you're saying in a nutshell, Mark, and I get it, is community. And it's funny you said that about the conferences, because I haven't been to a conference in quite a while, just exactly. Because when I was in the gaming industry, G2E is like the Super Bowl. And then there's 30,000 people that show up and it's a week long and it's crazy. But more business has been closed at the parties and events than on the floor.
Yes.
10 times more business.
Yes.
You know, I met with some of the biggest people in the casino industry, closed deals just over cocktails.
Yep.
So that's really what I miss, that sort of thing. Yep. And there probably is in the loyalty space, and I have to really sit and think about it. But, since COVID, I've been doing kind of staycations around Florida here and there, but I haven't really ventured out, although we're going to New York next week. So we'll see how that pans out. But so when it comes to your, you know, I was doing a little research, and you're a virtual CMO, right? So you're helping businesses that sell their software as a service to other businesses, but ultimately it trickles down. And the reason they do it is for their end users, their customers.
Yeah, that's right.
To build that community, and they think about loyalty. So and I don't know how, you know, you think about loyalty when it comes to you and your clients with them being loyal to you, but I'm assuming it's just based on good deliverables that you get them and results that are tangible. But ultimately it's helping them build their business and customer base and brand loyalty to ultimately continue to engage with you and your services.
Yeah. You know, there's a phenomenon called product-led growth. And I'm talking specifically about really SaaS, software as a service type business models, which nowadays, I don't know if it's 90% or 95% or 80%, doesn't really matter, but the vast majority of technology solutions are delivered in this SaaS model. So, and we're all very familiar with it. There's usually a fairly low monthly recurring fee. And then, you know, there can be, you know, whatever, additional charges and, additional services that get bolted on, added on. But what's really interesting is there's this new phenomenon of, so if we think about how sales happened, and again, this is in a B2B context, but let me try and connect it to those, you know, to your listeners who are also just selling direct to the consumer. So they, you know, they have a product, they just sell direct to the consumer. There is no sort of middle person in there. But B2B anyway, what would happen is you typically had a in-person sales force. So you had account executives, right? And they were sometimes supported by, inside sales or by, you know, SDRs, sales development reps, or BDRs who were kind of trying to set up appointments. But at the end of the day, it was a one-on-one engagement. You know, there was a salesperson who was targeting somebody as a customer, and they were doing all of the sales tactics to win that deal. Then it sort of migrated, the go-to-market or the sales process migrated to, everything was kind of online. So very low touch. So I could go online. I didn't have to talk to anybody. I enter my credit card number and voila, I have access and I'm able to use the product. Now what's happening, and of course there's blending of these models, but now what's happening is where there's this model that's called product-led growth, or, you know, it's product-led. And the idea is that you get someone into the solution as quickly and easily as possible. Sometimes that can be via a free mechanism. It might be through just a very, very low cost way, but you get them in. And then as they begin to use and experience the product, they say, wow, that is a great, I need that. And then they unlock for a fee, of course, you know, they unlock another feature. And this is all part of the product design. And this is actually, I really believe, where the future of sales is going, where the buyer no longer is going to have to, all of our buying decisions are not exactly going to be a zero or a one. I'm either going to spend nothing or $100,000 a year, which previously was in kind of the old world, you know, and again, I'm talking about kind of enterprise software and, you know, so, but in the old world, that was it. Like, we're either going to spend nothing or spend $100,000 or $200,000 or $1 million a year. Well, that, you know, no wonder these buying cycles are a year, 2 years, sometimes 3 years long, because these are huge decisions.
Yeah.
In this new model, in this new approach, and where it connects to loyalty is that if you think about it, if the same feeling that I have for, you know, for as a consumer for Hilton, and hey, they take care of me, and hey, I'm getting value is what I feel. Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm not getting value from the solution, you know, in this product-led growth, I'm obviously not going to continue to use it. Therefore, I'm not going to, you know, that particular company can't upgrade me. I don't have additional revenue opportunities. And so you begin to think about how this looks in terms of product, how you design your product, how you take your product to market or your service. And I think it could really have some significant ramifications, because imagine if you're a service provider and there was some way that you could break apart your service, and rather than only having an option for a $500 service, $1,000 and a whatever, you know, some other, what if there's a way that you could provide something for free or something for $50 that you had very high confidence would onboard somebody to say, oh, wow, that's, you know what, you're here, go ahead and do the rest of it. And you think about now the psychological decisions that have to be made to get somebody to spend $50 versus $500, or, you know, meaning, yeah. I guess what I'm really trying to say is the barrier, you know, to get someone, you know, and so I think that this is very, very interesting and instructive for a lot of small and medium sized businesses to think about, is how can we break apart our product in such a way that we can deliver value, so much value on the front end that somebody just says, well, of course I want the rest of it.
Yeah. So in the app world and in the gaming world, it's called the freemium model.
And absolutely.
Zynga built a $1 billion business by doing it, giving away their product free. And even only 3%, even the fact that only 3% of their customers actually pay for anything
converted.
For
yeah. Yeah.
That covers the nut and then some. They make
it does. It more. Does. Yeah. So, I think, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so I like that strategy of doing that in the B2B space of giving someone the opportunity, you know, and I've seen it on several different sites that do very well and they have 7 day or 14 day free trial, and you become entrenched in it and you're like, wow, I love this. This is a great value. I have to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the freemium. So one point I'll make is that, of course, we're all very, very familiar with freemium, and that's been out there for a while. What I'm talking about is maybe just a little bit of a different abstraction of the freemium model, because traditionally freemium was kind of like, okay, for free, we're just going to give you this truncated, you know, set of features or mm-hmm. or you're limited, whatever, you know, it's a limited product. It's a handicap product. So it's kind of not the full thing. And then you can unlock for a little more and you get more and, you know, you kind of go up this value ladder. That's a strategy that absolutely in some cases is kind of the only way you can implement this. But the better way is to find how can you just bring value to somebody so that it doesn't sort of feel like, geez, you know, I kind of feel like, I'll give you an example. My wife is wanting to work on some languages. And so she started Duolingo. Now, it was Duolingo is very successful and it's an awesome solution, but she was kind of a little bit frustrated with how it seemed like she was being asked to unlock something, you know, and it was, and of course, you know, we unlocked it because it really wasn't that much money, but it was just, it didn't feel like the best experience, at least in her mind, you mm-hmm. know, and she kept coming to me like, it wants me to pay again. Like I thought we already unlocked it. And I'm like, I thought so too. Just enter the credit card, just be done with it. You know, like, so.
Yeah. Well, that's from Candy Crush. The candy's not going to crush itself. You know, you have to unlock the next value. Live. Yeah. And they do that. Believe me when I tell you, it's done for a psychological reason. And they know how far they can push people, I'm assuming, right? So it's.
Of course it is. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
Duolingo. There's neuroscience behind all this stuff. That's crazy.
Is a very successful company. So yeah. So and in fact, it's interesting with that note. So I actually explained to her in one of our last interactions about this. She was expressing frustration. I said, you know, this actually is a very brilliant business model and it's very effective. So, you know, it's like, yes, you're frustrated. Yes, I feel like, geez, you know, I thought we already like unlocked that level or whatever it was, but. Anyway.
So the companies, the types of companies that you work with, Mark, that are doing, either startup or, you know, B2B solutions, SaaS companies or whatever mm-hmm. they may be. How do you think about loyalty with them? Meaning like, you know, you don't provide just a one-off service. You want to become engaged with them on a regular basis that they're continuing to seek your consultation. And without giving them paywalls to say, you know, well, to give me more, you know, to get you more, you're exactly. going to have to pay me. But how do you think about that? Because we have consultants that listen to our podcast as well, mm-hmm. who are thinking about, you know, without me, there's no business. How do I create that loyalty? So how do you think about stuff like that?
Yeah. Wow. As a consultant and a service provider, this always is a big, you know, I talk to people who, other consultants, you know, who say, oh, you know, I won't talk to anybody until they're paying me, you know, or, you know, and everybody kind of has their approach. And if someone's been at it for a while, their approach works for them. Mm-hmm. So I just have adopted, I've always lived my life with, I guess, reciprocity as just the center of it. And what I mean by that is not that I'm expecting something in return for what I give, but I've just found that when you give, good things come back. You know, sometimes they come from maybe that person or that company or that organization that you gave to. So, you know, you give and then later, you know, they hire you or something happens. Mm-hmm. Other times maybe it didn't come, but somehow it was returned. And so for me, you know, loyalty, I think of it on a couple levels. So I think of it, first of all, I've had, in fact, one of my best engagements was entered into by someone I knew who called me and said, hey, I'm working with this entrepreneur. We're doing something. We're like, we don't even really have a company yet. It's, you know, but would it be okay if I just called you? You know, I don't know. I won't take too much of your time, but I just need to like pick your brain and just sort of, and it was super interesting because I can even remember, you know, when I recall this, and this was like 10 years ago, this happened. This was 10 years ago. I can remember where I was standing in my living room talking to him on my cell phone. And I remember having this quick thought like, oh, well, you know, yeah, great. You're asking me for free consulting, you know, that like went through my mind. And then right behind that was a thought that went, just say yes. Just say yes. And I said, you know, I said his name. I said, you know what? Call me anytime. I'm happy to help. And so guess what? Every 2 or 3 months, literally, almost like clockwork, my phone would ring. He'd say, hey, Mark, you got a little time? We'd usually talk for about an hour and a half. So these weren't 10 minute, you know, mm-hmm. I would not hold back anything. I would, anything he wanted to know, any questions he had, I answered. Well, guess what? That turned into a consulting arrangement, turned into a deeper consulting arrangement, turned into a very nice opportunity for me, a 7-year opportunity. And so I think of it, you know, in that way, in terms of, you know, call it loyalty, call it just, you know, but I think it is loyalty because, you know, if I had approached him and said, you know, hey, I really only, you know, here's my rate and I'm willing to give you a little, mm-hmm. maybe he still would have said, hey, I get it. This is your business and okay. And maybe he would have paid me, but I can assure you it would not have turned in to the opportunity that it was.
Yeah. It's funny you say that too, because I had another guest on a couple of episodes ago, and we were talking about that. And he said, he has a theory. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. So what you did in that case, Mark, it's 50-50. 50-50 yeah. is what you do,
yeah.
but the other 50% yeah. is important yeah. in how you do yeah. it. And I was like, I've got to share that with other listeners. That's
Yeah. So let me tell you then the other piece of this that I've learned and it's holding out true. I mean, it's bearing out with all of my clients, every single one of my clients. I have 4 clients today that I work with. I work with a small group because I'm not trying to build a boutique firm. I want to work one-on-one and be totally engaged. So, mm-hmm. so here's the thing I've also found. You, as much as, you know, you form some sort of scope of work and there's some sort of agreement as to, okay, you know, obviously a fee and what they're going to get for that. And, you know, there's an agreement there. That is usually within sometimes weeks or certainly a couple months, we're off doing 50% that was never even contemplated.
Mm-hmm.
Never even contemplated. And not because they're trying to get more out of me, you know, but because we get in there, we start engaging and all of a sudden I bring my view of working with a client is that you get 100% of my brain, you get 100% of my background, which means that if we get in here and we find out that, wow, you really need some help around recruiting. And if I can help you with that, I'm just going to do that because that is what's going to make you successful right now in the moment. Mm-hmm. And so again, getting back to like what your other guest said, you know, about what you do and how you do it. I totally agree with that, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, how does this connect to loyalty? Well, if somebody doesn't feel, you know, that level of comfort and that level of commitment from me, well, they're not going to be very loyal to me. And consequently, what's super interesting is I'm just really blessed with clients that I never dread when the phone rings, you know, meaning I'm never kind of waking up every month when it's invoice time and thinking, are they going to pay it? Is this the month they're going to cancel? Is there going to? And I think all consultants, you know, if they're honest, would say there's times when it's like, you know, the phone rings, you're going, oh no, is this, you know, is this good? Is it bad? Is it, are they going to pay the invoice? Are they? And I never have to worry about that.
That's great. Yeah, that's definitely a great feeling. I consult in the gaming space. I haven't had an active consulting gig in probably a year. But when I did, the most frustrating thing for me was that, and maybe I took it personally, I would go all in on a particular project, and I would produce the deliverable. So I did a feasibility study for a company out in Northern California, a gaming company in Northern California. And I was so excited for them to implement what I prescribed because I believed in it. I mean, I was so entrenched. I did the research. I knew this would work. And I met the woman 6 months later at a conference. I said, so how did it go? She goes, it's still sitting on my desk. And I was like, oh. It was just the most disheartening thing because
for all that work that you put your heart and soul into
that's tough. So I know consultants have that sort of thing, but it comes with the territory, and that's not exactly why I'm looking for another business to buy. I'm looking to buy a business right now that's already producing revenue that we can help scale. I want to bring my son into the business with me, and we want to build something together. But Anyway, listen, we could talk about this forever, but I know that listening span is probably lunch break, half an hour. So we kind of trim it down to that. Mark, if listeners want to get a hold of you for your information, what's the best way they could do that?
Yeah, go to my website. It's Growth Stage. So all one word, growthstage.marketing. And also just Mark Donegan on LinkedIn. I'm, you know, not hard to find. So,
okay. Yeah. I'll put it in the show notes as well.
Absolutely.
I want to definitely thank you for your time. It was an interesting conversation. I'm hoping our listeners enjoyed it. I want to thank our listeners, in fact, for being loyal listeners and sharing some of their valuable time with us. If you feel you've received value from the show, we would appreciate it, a 5-star review on your favorite podcast streaming service. If you think you know someone else who might enjoy listening to the show, please do share. That's how we grow. To reference this and other Loyalty Minute episodes, please visit theloyaltyminute.com. Enjoy. Oh, one more thing before I sign off. I spoke yesterday, and maybe this is a little afterthought, but I spoke yesterday with a gentleman in Israel, and he gave me some advice, like you said, for free. And I was floored, and I said, Itai, that's great advice. I really appreciate it. So he sent me a link, and he said, here's some other companies that you might be interested in buying. And one of them was called buymeacoffee.com. Did you ever hear this?
No.
No. So what it is now I've been doing this podcast for a year and a half, and I don't really like sponsorships or advertising. I like to just do a conversation, have people get some value out of it, and that's it. But he said, check this thing out. So I set it up the other day, yesterday, in fact.
I saw it on your website. So
I was like, what? So you click a button and you can, you can buy me a cup.
Buy me a coffee. Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So it took me 60 seconds to set up, because he said to be in terms of actually acquiring a company, maybe they're not for sale, but you can just inquire anyway, maybe invest in the company, which I invest in a whole bunch of other companies through angel.com, angel.co. So I thought that's pretty interesting. So
interesting. I'll have to check that out.
Anyway, all right. I appreciate your time, Mark, and your insights, and we'll see you soon.
Great. Thank you, Rob. It was great being on the show.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for your next edition of the Loyalty Minute.